Hey y'all, Pitigechi Fofa here. Today's gonna be a little different. So, if you read the description, you'll see that I am roasting an article in my specialty today. I have done some, ramble fapsed articles before, but I've kept them out of my specialty. That way there could be, novelty and it could be fun as I tripped over words. But a couple folks have asked for a recording in my specialty, and I happened to see a really irresponsible article in the sort of weird confluence of my subspecialties, which is like speech science and medical research. So it's a 3-page article, but this author in particular has a lot of research on this topic, and I think that it's really irresponsible and poorly done research that could lead to misinformation of public health. These are the types of articles that can get misquoted in, for news studies and in, broader media outlets, and it can cause like sensational takes and misinterpretations, and that is not what we need right now. There are just too many scientists out here doing great work, and like, as a scientist, it is your responsibility to do your part to help stop the spread of misinformation. If anything, these authors should be presenting, first of all, they shouldn't be doing this fucking research, but even if they are, like, I have no idea what the value of this research is. But this got quoted. So the article is called "How the Language We Speak Determines the Transmission of COVID-19, which implies that there is a difference by language, which there isn't, for reasons that I'll go into here in a couple moments. But you can see how a title like that could lead to some really sensational headlines about how, countries or people who speak different languages might be spreading the virus more, which just isn't the case. So let's get comfortable. I am going to still, have my vibe and fap, but we're gonna go on a fucking journey, and I don't really know how I'm gonna feel when this ends. I might be too upset to even finish, but yeah, here we go. So, as I said, the name of the article is "How the Language We Speak Determines the Transmission of COVID-19 by Giorgio Giorgio and Killani. This was published this year, so this is recent, in the Irish Journal of Medicine. They also have about 5 or 6 similar articles in other outlets, some of which are forthcoming and some of which I didn't have access through my university affiliation. So here's the one that we found. Let's get the vibe ready. Okay, and I think this is how I'm going to do it. It's only 3 pages, so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it verbatim, and then I'm going to stop and indicate when I'm going to explain things and comment on it. So if you don't understand what I'm saying, just hang on. I'll make sure that I kind of translate as we go along so that folks are actually able to understand what this article is about and why it sucks. Let's bring some knowledge to folks. Okay, here we go. Introduction. COVID-19 triggered by SARS-CoV-2 infection has resulted in a global pandemic in 217 nations, with more than 42.6 million infections and 1.1 million deaths as of the 24th of October 2020, according to the COVID-19 map of Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center. Currently, there is no specific drug or vaccine against COVID-19. All right, so clearly we know that this is, that there's been updates since then. Therefore, effective preventing measures will play a vital role in controlling the spread of the virus. Nonetheless, Epidemiologic data demonstrate a rampant increase in cases in some countries, while others seem to have flattened the number of cases. This advances the question of whether a holistic scientific apprehension of disease-spreading channels has yet to be achieved, and consequently, whether there are more effective methods to prevent its transmission. Okay, so I'm going to stop here and say that there's really nothing problematic about this paragraph. It's just saying that in some countries there are more cases than others, and it's interesting to figure out why. So, we're fine so far. Continuing on. The most important characteristic of COVID-19 is that it can be easily transmitted from human to human. Infectious microorganisms in the air released from infected individuals through expiratory activities and inhalation of these microorganisms by other individuals results in the transmission of the disease. So, COVID-19 can be transmitted through sneezing, coughing, due to the high velocity of droplets produced by these activities. However, recent studies have demonstrated that large quantities of droplets may be produced even by talking or breathing. According to Lindsay et al., droplets produced through breathing are more than those produced by coughing, since the latter takes place with lower frequency in comparison to breathing. Considering evidence from the World Health Organization, one-third of individuals infected by COVID-19 do not cough. Therefore, the virus is more possibly transmitted through the emission of aerosol particles from talking or breathing. Okay, so here's my commentary. Also, nothing problematic about this paragraph. They're just saying that the way people get COVID is through infected droplets. And this can happen coughing, sneezing, or breathing or talking, but it's more likely to happen through breathing and talking because those are really common activities, and sneezing and coughing are less common activities. Continuing on. The transmissibility or contagiousness of infectious diseases such as COVID-19 can be estimated using the basic reproduction number R0. This metric is not constant since it relies on the duration of the infectious period, the likelihood of infecting an individual during one contact, and the number of new individuals that an infected individual has contacted per unit of time. R0 varies not only from disease to disease, but also for the same disease across populations. Some studies assume that certain types of sounds... So, I'm going to stop right here, and it just says some studies, but doesn't quote anything. So, we have now entered highly problematic territory. Continuing on with the article. Some studies assume that certain types of sounds used in world languages produce more droplets compared to other sounds. This might have significant impact for the transmission of viruses to the language that we speak. For example, Asadi et al. Investigated the effect of voicing and articulation manner on aerosol particle transmission during human speech. The authors measured the particle emission rates of 56 healthy individuals who produced phones in isolation and spoken speech. The result showed that some vowels, like I, or the sound E more specifically, produce more particles than others, like ah, and voiced plosive consonants, like b, produce more particles than voiceless fricatives, like f. I'm going to stop right here and talk about a couple of things. First of fucking all, those differences in particle emission are going to be a difference of, like, fucking millimeters. So yes, all of the speech that we speak, air and droplets, comes out of our mouth, and for certain types of sounds more comes out. So even just think about, like, why there are pop filters on microphones, because when you say something like puh or buh, you're going to have more of an explosive force of air coming out of your mouth. And then similarly for certain vowels, you're holding a sound like ah, so you have a steady stream of air coming out of your mouth. Totally fine. But the differences between the differences between whether or not you're speaking with a P or a B or an A vowel is going to be fucking millimeters. So I don't understand how they can take such a small difference and try to say that this can affect potential transmittability of viruses. Also, I want to call attention to the part here that says that they have 56 healthy individuals. We don't know what languages they speak. They produced phones in isolation and spoken speech. So they took people into a lab and had them produce sounds in isolation so that they could get a controlled sample, which, like, normally would be careful science, but that's not how people speak in their everyday life. It's very different. There is no fucking way you could take that data and generalize out to the, like, common population. Like, there is no fucking way. It's not the same. Also, they didn't even tell us what the difference was between the particle emissions during those sounds, because it would be fucking millimeters, and that's not enough for there to be, like, they're making it sound like if you use a pea, you're shooting, like, a water hose, like a fucking fire hose of droplets out at someone, when it's likely no different from someone who maybe speaks loudly. No different from, you know, someone who breathes more out of their mouth than their nose. Like, it's just such bullshit. Continuing on with the article. Okay. Abkarian and Stone provide novel evidence about the mechanisms that create droplets in the mouth. The researchers recorded a high-speed video of a volunteer who produced various sounds. The findings demonstrate that the consonants B, D, P, and T created the most saliva because they involve a burst of air through a narrow saliva-filled space. By contrast, consonants such as M produce only a few droplets because the air is sent through the nose. All consonants which were found to create a lot of droplets during speech have the same manner of articulation. They are a stop or plosive consonant. Such consonants are produced with a complete closure of the articulators, which impedes the air from escaping the mouth. When the articulators separate with each other, the air is released in a small burst of sound. Okay, so this last part is totally fine. So sounds like M and N are nasal consonants, meaning that you have airflow going through both your nose and your mouth. Whereas when you have the sort of pop plosive consonants, B, D, P, T, K, sounds like that. Those have a more rapid burst of air. But here's the fucking thing. All languages in the world have plosive consonants. They have different ones, but they all have plosive consonants. So these sounds are, like, present. These classes of sounds are present in all languages. So anyway, keep that in mind. Back to the article. Inoue developed a controversial hypothesis to justify the fact that Japanese tourists in China in 2003 were not infected by SARS, in contrast to American tourists. The author proposes that the use of aspirated consonants increases the chance for the transmission of SARS from human to human, since such consonants emit a lot of droplets compared to other types of sounds. He emphasizes the possibility that Chinese shop assistants were speaking to Japanese tourists in Japanese, a language in which aspiration is weak, while they were speaking American to American tourists in English, which has stronger aspiration. This might explain the zero infection of Japanese tourists. I'm going to stop right here because this is... Wait, what? Oh, my vibrator died. Great! So this is really bullshitty for a couple of different reasons. So, Japanese has those sounds. What he's referring to is the voice onset timing of those types of sounds, in which in certain languages, the average voice onset timing of a plosive consonant is shorter than in other languages. So American English has particularly long voice onset timing in comparison to certain other languages. But once again, we're talking about something like 10 milliseconds. And also the difference in voice onset timing is a spectrum even within speaker. So once again, this isn't a matter of like a hard stop between like this is strong aspiration and this is weak aspiration, because it varies. It varies from speaker to speaker. It varies from dialect. It varies from language to language. So there really is no threshold at which this would be strong or not. Also, we are talking about Chinese shop assistants who are likely speaking English and Japanese in a way that is different from native speakers. So you can't really say that these folks are all speaking in a way that they're not infecting these but infecting others or whatever. Also, that's just one thing. Nowhere here do they talk about other reasons why folks may have been infected rather than others. For example, it is really common in some countries to wear masks when you or others are sick, and not really common in others. Also, cultural norms surrounding when you should stay close or far away from someone, like a personal space bubble. Those are all variables that they just don't mention here at all. So you're going to hear a bunch of scraping. I'm going to see if I have another charged device that I can use for the rest of this. But yeah, so no, this is just really, really stupid. That's like saying some shit like, well, American tourists were more likely to wear fanny packs and Japanese tourists were more likely to wear backpacks. And it's just really weird that the Japanese tourists didn't get anything. So it's probably the backpack. That's basically how ridiculous this argument is. So we're going to continue on. And I do have a new vibe. Okay. Moving on. Okay, so the next thing they do is they move on and they explain what I just did, is that, like, there is a spectrum of voice onset timing for plosive consonants, which, I mean, I feel like if they understood any of what that actually meant, they would realize how fucking stupid their argument was. Continuing. Similar to Inoue, Giorgio, and Kalani, so that's also the authors of this article, devise a hypothesis that aspirated consonants might increase the transmission of COVID-19. The authors compared the numbers of COVID-19 cases per million of population in 26 countries which were the most infected by the virus. They divided the countries into two lists, countries of which the dominant language contains aspirated consonants and countries in which the dominant language does not contain aspirated consonants. So once again, commentary. I just want to point out that all of these languages have the same classes of sound. It's just that some of them are on the higher end of that voice onset timing and some of them are on the lower end, which once again is that like millimeters and milliseconds of difference in articulation. It was observed that countries with languages that include aspiration had more cases of COVID-19. However, there were no significant differences in the number of cases between the two types of languages. Still, any conclusions would be controversial and uncertain due to methodological limitations. That's where this fucking article should end. That's probably the most sensical thing that they've said this entire time. Because there are so many variables that go into transmission of a virus. Everything from how the government is handling it, population density, cultural norms, age, health preconditions, social determinants of health, access to healthcare, all of these things. And you're over here talking about like a P and a B sound. Like, what the whole fuck? Continuing. In this study, we aim to provide more detailed insights into how the production of particular consonants during speech might contribute to the spread of COVID-19. To our knowledge, such investigations are extremely limited in the literature. Yes, because it's fucking stupid. It's fucking stupid and it's irresponsible. This is a waste of funds. This is a waste of people's time to think that the thing that we need to be investigating during a global pandemic is the difference in fucking millimeters and milliseconds of producing P sounds and B sounds differently, and not how to make sure people have access to care, how to make sure people have access to the protective equipment they need if they are essential workers, how to make sure that, actual medical research on, the vaccine and on treatments is being done, not this fucking bullshit. Okay. We aim to highlight a novel relationship between linguistics and biological sciences. Okay, linguistics and biological sciences are already kind of the same thing because guess who speaks languages? Fucking biological humans. Articulatory linguistics is already a clinical and medical discipline for the folks who study it in the way that they're talking about here. So, for example, I had to do some medical and clinical type stuff when I was studying this stuff. Like, I had to go to a human dissection because I needed to see how all the human meat and all of that worked when people produce language. So it is not a novel thing to have cross sections between biological science, medicine, and linguistics, because once again, humans speak language and humans are biological organisms. Moving on. We rest upon two hypotheses. First, we assume that the use of aspirated consonants during speech might correlate to the transmission of COVID-19. This is because aspiration involves a puff of air, and subsequently, more droplets might be emitted from the mouth compared to non-aspirated consonants. Second, we assume that the frequency of occurrence of specific consonants that are said to produce lots of droplets during speech will positively correlate with the transmission of COVID-19, which can be reflected in the R0 of the disease. So I don't even know how they justified this study, because even if they look back at the SARS thing from 2003, that was really controversial too. So that's like saying, hey, y'all, like 20 years ago, some problematic shit went down, and we're going to go ahead and build off of that because we think it's novel. Just because it's novel doesn't mean that it's good. This is basically edgelordery of fucking science. We're about to get into their actual analysis, and I took a peek, and it looks really bad already. Analysis 1. This analysis aimed at investigating whether languages with aspirated consonants would transmit easier COVID-19 in comparison to languages without aspirated consonants. Sample. We initially have chosen the 150 most infected countries by COVID-19 as of October 17, 2020. A country does not represent a particular language, so in order to control as much as possible this factor, we selected countries in which approximately 3/4 of the population use a particular standard language for everyday communication. All the other languages that did not meet this criteria were excluded, so including Switzerland, Cameroon, and Myanmar. The number of selected countries was 91. We also gathered information about the R0 of COVID-19 for the countries in our list as of October 17, 2020. This information was retrieved from Epidemic Forecasting COVID-19, which is managed by the Future of Humanity Institute at the University of Oxford. We could not retrieve information for 8 countries, and thus the final number of the countries included in our database was 83. So 25 with aspiration, 20 and 58 without aspiration. So we already are starting with like a super unbalanced data set. To collect information about the existence of aspirated consonants in the phonological inventory of standard languages, we used FOIBLE, a database that contains 3,020 inventories from 2,186 languages from several sources such as UPSID, South African Phonological Inventory Database, and the Stanford Phonology Archive, and other secondary sources. This is really nitpicky, but I'm just going to go ahead and say here that the phonological inventory differs from the actual phonetic articulation of sounds. So, for example, we know that the sound P is in English, but we know that different people say the P sound different. You can probably even think you might know people who really like pop the P and other people who don't. So comparing sort of the fact that like this language has this sound and this language doesn't take into effect the huge amount of variation in how those things are actually produced by real life speakers. Moving on, statistical analysis. Oh, I can't wait. Our protocol was based on a point by serial correlation test conducted in R. The kind of test was the most appropriate since we had a dichotomous independent variable, aspiration, yes or no. Hey, remember when I told y'all that is not a fucking dichotomous variable to begin with? All right. And a scale-dependent variable, which is R0. Results. The results of the statistical analysis showed that languages with aspirated consonants had higher R0 than languages without. Nevertheless, these differences were not significant. So even in their bullshit thing, it wasn't a significant difference. Also, I want to go ahead and point out Stats 101 that correlation is not causation. And you can't isolate these variables away from, like, all of the other social and medical variables that would, you know, contribute to virus transmission. Okay, I'm losing my mind. Here we go. Analysis 2. The second analysis aimed at investigating the correlation between the frequency of occurrence of 4 consonants found in particular languages of the R0 of COVID-19 and the countries in which these languages are primarily spoken. So I want to point out here that they are fucking cherry picking. Their first analysis didn't show fucking shit, so now they're honing down on even smaller and smaller differences. So we are getting, with each analysis, further and further away from the complex myriad of sounds and styles in which people speak in their everyday life. Here we go. The sample of the analysis consisted of the frequency of occurrence of the consonants BDPT found in 16 languages. Oh, they also have like a really ugly box plot in here. Like, fucking hideous. Which are mainly spoken in 16 countries. The data was retrieved from PEWS, which includes a corpus of the frequency of occurrence of phonemes. Okay, we don't need to read that part. That's about the database. Fine. Statistical analysis. We used a series of correlation tests in ours. The first variable was the frequency of occurrence for each of the four consonants in the particular language counted in percentages. And the second variable was the R0 of COVID-19 in the countries where these variables are spoken. Results. The results of the statistical analysis showed a negligible or small negative correlation between R0 and B and T, and a small negative correlation between R0 and P. So, hey, stats nerds, all they said here was they gave that P was greater than 0.05, and our correlation coefficient here is really, really small. So this is irresponsible to say. Negligible or small, meaning not there. We conducted another correlation test using the data from consonant frequencies in several languages. This data was taken from an online source, which includes the frequency of occurrence of letters found in texts. The texts were collected from various sources. Not all languages in this data were the same as those in the previous data. Messy! Also, letters in texts and the way things are spoken, not the fucking same. The analysis showed a negative correlation for BDT, but a positive, large positive correlation for P. This would practically mean that languages that use P more frequently have more chance to spread the virus. What? First of all, the frequency of something in writing and something in raw-ass natural speech is not the same. Second of all, you're telling me that the frequency of one letter, one little P, is really what we're looking at here, and not, once again, all of the really complex societal, social, medical, environmental variables that go into a pandemic. And I love this. Practically mean that languages that use P. Fuck this. Fuck this whole article. Okay, we're almost done. We conducted two analyses to determine the relationship between the transmissibility of COVID-19 and the use of aspirated consonants, and the relationship between the transmittability of COVID-19 and the frequency of occurrence of specific consonants in several languages. The findings portrayed that there were no significant differences for the transmissibility of the virus between countries that mainly use a particular language that contains aspirated consonants and countries with languages that do not. This corroborates earlier findings of Giorgio and Kalani, who found no significant differences between the groups of languages that use these groups of consonants and do not. No shit, because there's like nothing to be found here. The commonplace between the two studies was that there were more cases of COVID-19 and the virus was more transmittable in languages that included aspirated consonants, but not significantly. And also really problematic data, like, ugh. Anyway, however, the statistical analysis indicated that this difference was not important, and therefore our initial hypothesis cannot be accepted. It never should have been fucking accepted in the first place. It really shouldn't have. All right, we're almost done. The results of the second analysis showed that the frequency of occurrence of B, D, and T did not have any positive correlation with the transmission of the disease. There was a small correlation for P, and upon conducting another analysis with different data, it's a fucking methodological mess. We found a large correlation. So that's like saying, okay, we didn't find what we were looking for in this data, so we used other data until we found what we wanted. That's bad science. According to Abkarian and Stone, who investigated stop consonant saliva production, although B and P consonants produce a lot of droplets during P speech, P surpasses B in terms of droplet emission. This took place when the speaker produced ba, abba, ab, and pa, appa, ab. You know, supernatural speech production for everyday life. What the whole fuck? What the fuck? This is not how people speak. This is not how society works. This is not how epidemiology works. The aforementioned findings can be explained from the fact that B is a voice consonant. Okay, no, they're going to go into, like, the difference between B and P, and that is, like, not what the fuck is happening here. This study offers only a tentative picture of how the use of consonants is associated with the transmissibility of COVID-19. No, what it does is you're showing your fucking ass. You're showing the waste of funds and time and allocation of resources. And you're showing that, like, none of this means anything. The conclusions drawn from these results cannot be generalized at the moment due to methodological limitations. Read methodological fuck shit and sloppery. First, we were not able to include a large number of languages, considering there are more than 7,000 active languages in the world. Secondly, we do not know the exact linguistic background of each individual and which languages they use during everyday communication. Yeah, because people are complex. And you're trying to draw dichotomies and binaries where they really, truly don't exist in real life. For example, one might be a native speaker of the predominant language of a country, but they may use another language for the communication when speaking with other individuals. Third, the transmissibility of the virus may also depend on other factors such as social distance measures and other sources of transmission. Oh, those things, those huge, huge things. Although it is difficult to determine the exact relationship between the transmission of a virus and use of language, future studies may rely on this study to perform a further research in controlled environments. Okay, no. I'm going to put this study in the trash because it's bad. It's irresponsible. Okay, so before I abandon this topic totally, I just want to go ahead and talk about spurious correlations. So spurious correlations mean that you might find correlations between things that otherwise aren't related at all. There's a really cool website. If you look up the term spurious correlations... God, I'm like worked up. I'm like sweating. And also I still have this vibe on and I'm like all over the place. Anyway, so this website, spurious correlation, shows that, for example, you could have correlations between things like, I think there's like a correlation between like certain opening weekends of movies and like people drowning in a pool, or like people who wear blue shirts and like numbers of people hit by a car that day. Like, basically there are so many variables and so many side, like, intersecting factors involved in everyday life that if you put essentially a bunch of variables together, you're going to find two that correlate. But just because they correlate doesn't mean that they're actually related or cause each other. So that's where this like correlation is not causation comes from. Just because these two things happen to line up doesn't mean that they're actually related to each other. So if we ran a bunch of correlations, and this is something that, like, stats nerds, we could do this. If we ran correlations on actual, you know, COVID cases and other variables, people who wear blue shirts, people you know, who have a P in their name, people who, you know, record erotic audios on the internet, we're bound to find more correlations, the vast majority of which would be spurious, because something like epidemiology is really complex and is going to involve a mixture of social, environmental, and medical factors. And not just the fucking letter P. So, if you made it to the end, thank you. I think I'm gonna try to finish and get off because I'm super worked up. And, yeah. This is such an irresponsible article. It was so bad. Okay. Alright, calming down. Just focusing. Yeah, I want someone to fuck me the way that this article fucked over the journal that it submitted to. I want someone to fuck me as messily as they assembled these data sets. Ugh. It turns out having a vibe on this whole time did kind of get me mostly there. I want to come as strong as their fucking spurious correlations. If you stayed until the end, thank you for coming on this crazy ride with me, and I hope you learned something.